Now add to this the statement that according to Sankhya, Purushas are many. There is not one Purusha. There is plurality of Purushas. Each one of us is a Purusha. And each one of them is ultimate. So according to Sankhya, not only are two principles ultimate, Purusha and Prakriti, but each Purusha is ultimate. So Sankhya is at once dualist and pluralist. Dualist because it maintains that Purusha and Prakriti, they are the two ultimate principles. And it is pluralist because it maintains that each Purusha is different from the other one. And the proof of this, according to Sankhya, is that when one Purusha is liberated, all are not liberated at the same time. Therefore, there must be many Purushas. That is Sankhya's great argument.
And as many Prakritis then?
No, according to Sankhya, Prakriti is only one.
But isn't that a contradiction, Arjun?
There is a deeper contradiction. Not only this, there is a deeper contradiction actually. We shall come to that. Now, according to Shankara, if there are many Purushas, all are existent, again there must be all equal in the existence. Mm. So there must be only one existence. Mm. So Purushas can't be many. Therefore, according to Shankara, there is only one Purusha, which he calls Brahman. There is only one Brahman.
What if the many Purushas are at the different levels of consciousness?
Yes, that is the argument of Sankhya. That unless there are different Purushas, there can't be different levels. So the whole idea of levels itself is tied up with the idea of many Purushas. According to Shankara, this whole idea of being at different levels and all that cannot be. There is only one status of consciousness, immobility, and that alone exists forever. And forever does not mean any time movement. Time movement means it's a movement, and movement means moving from what is to what is not. What is not does not exist. Then the question is, then what is all this that we see all around? We do see all movement. So his answer is, it cannot be. Therefore, it still seems to be, it can only be an illusion. An illusion is what? That which presents itself, what it is not. This is the meaning of illusion. That which presents itself as what it is not. So when the immobile presents itself as mobile, that is illusion.
But how can the immobile present itself? Because even the presenting is an act of mobility.
That's the next step of argument.
Contradiction to Shankara.
What is this presentation? Presentation to whom? So his answer to this question is, that presentation itself is an illusion. that sense of presentation, that immobile presenting itself as mobility, is itself an illusion. It really doesn't happen.
So we are actually not seeing anything. There is no seeing.
You, who are you?
There is no
you.
You are an illusion.
That's right. So, there is only a Brahman. There is only the Brahman, which is immobile. Now that is Shankara's position. Now this also is very unsatisfactory, as you can see very clearly. If you ask a question, if this statement is true, there is only one immobile Brahman. There being nothing else, no phenomenon, no movement, then it is in full contrast to not only the movement that we see all over the world, which you can't rub out, but it is in contrast to the deepest urge in human being to be liberated. We all have an urge to be liberated. But if Shankara's premise is correct, each one of us is an illusion. He is illusorily trying to be liberated from a world itself which is an illusion. So you have to conclude, there is none bound, none seeking liberation. And therefore, it's a mockery of all our efforts. Now Shankara, to be consistent with himself, would say, yes, it is so. This whole chimera which is there, there is none seeking liberation. Although you might say loudly, yes, but I am in bondage, I want to come out of it. But that is also an illusion. So his argument will be only this, that you should come out of that illusion.
But then there is no you.
So if this answer is obtained, then you should not therefore be deluding yourself that you are deluded. Then you are left in a contradiction. You are still asking me to be disillusioned from the illusion from which I am suffering, which I am not really suffering. I am suffering from illusion. I ought not to be suffering, and I am not suffering. Therefore, to whom are you advising to whom is exaltation? And if there is liberation at all, then there must be somebody who is liberated. Brahman cannot be liberated from itself. It is always in a state of liberation. Then who gains? So ultimately, his argument would turn into a kind of sophistry. Sophistry is a statement in which words are played upon and you mix up the argument by shifting one ground to the other without appearing to have shifted, but which in fact is shifting. This is the limitation of this whole argument.